Today's daf is Pesachim daf Yud Gimel. Today's shir again is sponsored by Elisha Graf. In my honor, we thank him very much for the sponsorship. Today there is just two topics on the daf. It's the last daf before we get to the Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kornim Sugis. So the Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kornim Sugis are somewhat tough. So let's enjoy this one. There are two topics. It breaks down pretty easily between Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. On Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to explain why it is that Rav paskened like Rabbi Yehuda that chametz should not be eaten during the fifth hour, that we only eat chametz up until through 4 hours of the day on Erev Pesach, and the fifth hour is tolin, lo ochlin, velo sorfin, and then at the beginning of the sixth hour we burn the chametz. And we're also going to explore other statements of Tanaim that seem to agree with Rabbi Yehuda to see if there's precedent to say dafka like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's Amud Aleph. Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the exact nature of these two loaves of bread that they had al gava itzdava by the Harabayis to indicate to people when the Zman Israchila began. We're going to discuss what kind of psul these loaves had, where these loaves came from, and that's going to be the basic topic of Amud Beis. So let's begin. We got to Yud Gimel Amud Aleph at the top, two lines from the top of the page. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Halacha Krabi Yudah. It was a three-way machlokas in the Mishnah when you have to stop eating chametz on Erev Pesach. Rav Meir held you could eat for the first 5 hours of the day. Rav Yudah said you could only eat for the first 4 hours of the day. Then in the fifth hour of the day you don't eat and you also don't burn it. And Rav Gamliel held that you could eat chulin through the first 4 hours of the day, but truma through the fifth hour of the day. And everyone agrees at the beginning of the sixth hour you burn the chametz. So Rav Nachman Amar Rav paskins like Rabbi Yehuda that we only eat through 4 hours of the day. So Amar Rav Rav Nachman v'neim Amar Alach Rav Meir d'sasim lantana kavasei. Why don't you paskin like Rav Meir? After all, we're going to have a stam mishnah that follows Rav Meir that you could eat through the fifth hour of the day. Ditznan, because the mishnah tells us later on in Daf Chaf Aleph kol sha'a shemutu lechol machil, that so long as it's mutter to eat chametz, you're allowed to be machil chametz. You're allowed to feed chametz to your behemah, to chayav ha'ofos. That's the first line of Mishnais in the second parak of this Masechta. The next time we're going to get really back into Pesachim in Yanim after we do seven dapim of Taharos is the second parak is called Kol Shah, because that's the first line of the Mishnais in the second parak, that so long as you're allowed to eat chametz, you're allowed to get hanah from chametz, which clearly assumes, like Rabbi Meir, that you're allowed to continue to eat chametz through the fifth hour, because we know you're definitely allowed to get hanah from chametz through the fifth hour. You're allowed to feed it to your animals through the fifth hour. So says the Gemara, don't you see that that's a stam mishnah like Rav Meir? Why would you pass him like Rav Yehuda, not like a stam mishnah that goes like Rav Meir? And so Gemara, he loves stamahu, mishum dekasha mutter. That is not a stam mishnah that follows Rav Meir. It is a stam mishnah, but it's not a stam mishnah that follows Rav Meir, because there's an extra word in the mishnah. It should have said kol shah sha'ochel machil. Why does it say kol shah shemutter le'echol machil? So we're medayik from that extra word mutter that the Mishnah is actually going like Rabban Gamliel. And what it's saying is, kol shah, that it's mutter for a kohen to eat truma, Yisrael can be machil as chametz to a behema, which means that in the fifth hour, a kohen is allowed to eat truma, but a regular person is not allowed to eat chametz during the fifth hour. So that stam Mishnah is actually going like Rabban Gamliel. It's in fact not at all going like the sheet of Rabbi Meir. So says the Gemara, okay, great. V'neim amar halach Rabban Gamliel, davale machria. So why don't you pass like Rabban Gamliel? Because Rabban Gamliel is a machria, and generally we always pass like a machria. If one person says A, and the other person says B, and then the third person says sometimes A, sometimes B, so we always pass like the third party, because he's a machria. And that's exactly what Rabban Gamliel is doing over here. Rabbi Yehuda says you only eat for the first 4 hours. Rabbi Meir says you eat for the first 5 hours. Rabban Gamliel says, well, some foods you eat for the first 4 hours only, and other foods you can eat through the fifth hour. The truma you can eat through the fifth hour. So isn't that a good reason to paskin like Rabban Gamliel? There's a fundamental question all the Rishonim ask over here, which is that the Gemara started by saying we should paskin like Rabban Meir because it's Stam Mishnah. Then we said, no, that Stam Mishnah really goes like Rabban Gamliel. So now that we turn to Rabban Gamliel and say we should paskin like Rabban Gamliel, why do we need a new svara to say to pass like Rabban Gamliel that he's a machria? We should say that we should pass like Rabban Gamliel because we have a stam mishnah that goes like Rabban Gamliel. I mean, the same reason we wanted to pass like Rabban Meir, because the first mishnah of the second parak we thought goes like Rabban Meir. Now that we say that that first mishnah of the second parak goes like Rabban Gamliel, that should be the reason to pass like Rabban Gamliel, that it's a stam mishnah that goes like Rabban Gamliel. So Tosos Dibra Maschil Rabban and the Rabbeinu David say that by MS we could have asked that, but the Gemara is somech on the second teretz, that which we pass on, the Gemara is going to say later on, that there's another reason that we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning there's reason to ignore that Stam Mishnah, because there's compelling evidence that we have to pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. But in Achinami, that really would have been a good kasha, that would have been a good thing to point out, that we have a Stam Mishnah that goes like Rabbi Gamliel. Tosos Rid says a little differently. He says, no, the point of saying that the first Mishnah, the second parak, has that extra word mutter, and therefore is going like Rabbi Gamliel, is not saying that we know for sure that Stam Mishnah is going like Rabbi Gamliel. What it's saying is that there's no hechrich that it's going like Rabbi Meir, that extra word mutter might be an indication that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Gamliel. It might also be going like Rabbi Meir. So the way the Gemara rejects the idea that we have to pass on Rabbi Meir because we have a Stam Mishnah is that there's also a possibility it's going like Rabbi Gamliel. So what are you going to do? Turn around now and say, oh, so passing like Rabbi Gamliel because we have a Stam Mishnah? Maybe it's going like Rabbi Meir. So we have no hechrich what that Stam Mishnah is really going like. That's how Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says, rather, I think. That's Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Tosfos Rid says a little differently. He says that Rabbi Gamliel is older than both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mishnah, if you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Gamliel, it's not a Raya that you follow that Stam Mishnah, because we have a rule that Stam v'achar kach machlokes, you don't go like the Stam Mishnah. If you have a Stam Mishnah, and then later on, that Stam Mishnah is one side of a machlokes that's taught later on, you don't follow the Stam, because we assume that the Stam Mishnah was taught before we knew the other opinions. The other opinions only came in later. So since historically Rabbi Gamliel was before Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, even though the Mishnah is placed later, it would have a status of a Stam v'achar kach machlokes. Having a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Gamliel, and then our Mishnah, which records a machlokes, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Gamliel, is just like a Stam v'achar kach machlokes, and that would not be enough reason to pass on like Rabbi Gamliel. So that's why
that's the
major kasha. What's the Tosfos talking about? The whole point of Stam v'achar kach machlokes is how Rebbe was mesader it. The fact that Rebbe was mesader within a mesechta, he put it in a certain order. Not all the mesechtas were taught in order, but within a mesechta, it's put in a certain order. So the fact that he puts a Stam first and then a machlokes is Rebbe indicating to us not to be so fast to follow that Stam. So very difficult Tosfos Rid. What Tosfos Rid means by that? Yeah, it's a good kasha. So the Gemara raises the question. So why don't we say Havale Machriya? We should pass him like Rabbi Gamliel because he's Machriya. Samalei Rabbi Gamliel love Machriya who Tam Dinaf Sheka Amar. Rabbi Gamliel is not a Machriya because he comes up with a svara that neither party, neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Yehuda, came up with. This idea to be Mechalek between Truma and Chulin is something that neither Rabbi Meir nor Rabbi Yehuda held like. So that's not called the Machriya. Why is it that we generally do Paskin like a Machriya? So Rashi writes in Maseches Baba Kama Daf Kufta Zayin that generally we pass on like a Machriya because it's Yachid V'Rabim Halacha Karabim, meaning, so it's the fourth hour of the day, it's the fifth hour of the day, am I allowed to eat Chulin? So Rabbi Yehuda will tell you no. Rabbi Gamliel will tell you no. Rabbi Meir will tell you yes. So it's a Rabbim against the Yachid, we're going to say no. Am I allowed to eat Truma? Well, Rabbi Yehuda will still tell you no. Rabbi Meir will still tell you yes. But now Rabbi Gamliel will tell you yes. So now it's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Gamliel against Rabbi Yehuda. It's a Rabbim. So the reason we generally follow Machriya is that the Halacha is like a Rabbim over a Yachid, which causes Rav Elchanan and Los Nun Beis to ask the Kasha, so then why isn't Rabbi Gamliel and Machriya over here? Granted, he comes up with a chiluk that neither party came up with, but the svara of you still have a rabbim against the yachid, that svara still works over here. We talk and still do have a rabbim against the yachid in either case. So the assumption that Rav Elchanan works with is that you would follow a rabbim even when the parties in the Rabbim aren't in agreement with each other as to why they paskin like they paskin. Meaning Rabbi Gamliel is a different svara than both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And yet he would still count him as part of the Rabbim. So that's the assumption that Rabbi Chanan is working with. Rabbeinu Chananel and Tosfos Rid have a different explanation of why Rabbi Gamliel is not considered a Machriya, and that's based on what I just mentioned before. The Tosfos Rid points out that Rabbi Gamliel was from an earlier generation. He says Machriya Machriya can only be in a later generation. We pass like a Machriya, like a compromise approach. When the compromise approach heard the other two approaches, and he said, you know what, instead of going like that, let's find the middle ground. But if he found the middle ground before any of the extreme positions were ever stated, so then it doesn't count as a Machriya. So that's one reason that we don't pass like Rabbi Gamliel. The E by Yosema, or it could be that the basis for Rav paskening like Rabbi Yehuda has nothing to do with why not to pasken like Rabbi Gamliel, but Viva Yisema Rav da Amar Ki Aitana, because he found a Tana that says just like Rabbi Yehuda. Where do we find such a Tana? The Tanya, we have a Braisa that says as follows: Arba'as or Shechalios b'Shabbos Mevarenes Hakol Milufnei Shabbos. When Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, what do we do with our chametz? We get rid of all of it before Shabbos. V'sarfin Trumos Temeos Tluyos Utahoros. We get rid of even the truma that's tamei, certainly we burn, truma that we're not sure whether it's tamei or tahor we burn, and even truma that's tahor we burn. Umeshayrim min ha-toros mazon shtei sudos kidei lechol ad dalet sha'os. Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda ish partusa shamar mishum Rabbi Yoshua. The only thing we leave over is two meals worth of truma tahora. I mean, if there's one thing we don't want to burn, that we're most hesitant to burn, it's truma tahora. We'd rather not destroy truma tahora. So we leave over two meals of truma Torah that we're going to use to eat on Shabbos, the first two Shabbos meals, because we're still going to be allowed to eat chametz for the first two Shabbos meals. So Amr lo, tahoros li yisrafu shamiyim sulen ochlin. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda ish partusa, why are you burning all the other truma Torah other than these two meals? Maybe you'll find people who are willing to eat it. Make a party on Friday night, make a tish or something, and maybe you'll find people who are willing to eat it before this man. So how could you burn it? Amalan kvar bikshu v'lo matzu. He said, no, we're talking about a case where you went around trying to give it away, trying to find people who could eat it, trying to find kohanim who could eat it, because it's truma, it's got to be kohanim, and you couldn't find anybody. Amar lo shemachutz l'chom olanu. So, well, no, maybe there are people, and they're just not in town now, they're outside of the walls of the city, but they're going to be walking into the city on Shabbos. Don't give up hope, you might still be able to find people on Shabbos. Amalan l'divrechem aftlius l'yisrafu shemayah. He says, well, if I'm going to be concerned, or if I'm going to be hopeful that someone is going to walk in from out of town who's going to be able to eat the truma, then even the truma tuluya, the truma that I'm not sure whether it's tamei or tahor, I shouldn't burn, because you never know. Maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will come on Shabbos. Instead of just some random guy coming from out of town, maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will come from out of town on Shabbos, and he'll tell me that this stuff is tahor. He'll be mevarer for me. Eliyahu HaNavi is not allowed to come and pasken halachos based on his nevuah, but he's allowed to be mevarer metzias. So he's not passing me halacha is tamei this tahor. He's telling me the metzias is. You're not sure what the metzias is. The metzias is that this is tahor. So maybe Eliyahu HaNavi will come, will tell me that it's tahor, and then I wouldn't have a right to burn this truma if you're going to be worried about any chance of being able to feed truma tahor to somebody. Amar lo, so the Chacham said, no, I'm not worried about that. The truma tuliyah I think you can burn, because kvar muchtach lan li Yisrael shein Eliyahu ba lo barve shabbosos lo. We already have a guarantee that Eliyahu HaNavi is not coming on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantiv, because it's going to be a big tircha for Eliyahu HaNavi to show up on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantiv. Rashi says, what's the tircha? Because we're going to be osik besudah Shabbos. We're busy on Erev Shabbos, trying to prepare sudah Shabbos. He's going to come, he's going to disrupt all of our Shabbos preparations. When something comes up unexpected on Friday, it's always the worst. You're so busy anyway on Friday. Something unexpected comes up, it's going to distract you entirely. So Rav Chanan says, wait a second. And what happens if Eliyahu HaNavi comes on Erev Shabbos, and we therefore don't make the best challenge for that Shabbos? We're left with a little bit less food for that Shabbos. So we're going to be upset about that. We're going to be sad about that. So what? Isn't that going to be a greater source of joy? Rav Chanan adds a little bit to the kasha. He says the halacha is that you're allowed to fast the tainus chalom on Shabbos. You're not allowed to. You have to have oneg Shabbos. How are you having oneg Shabbos? He says because the dream gets to you so much that your oneg is to fast, that enhances your oneg Shabbos to be able to fast so that your mind is put at ease. So he says, wouldn't you think that Eliyahu HaNavi coming on Erev Shabbos is an even greater oneg than the ability to fast the Tainus Chalom. So why, how could it be that Eliyahu Navi is not going to come in Erev Shabbos because in some way it's going to ruin our Aronic Shabbos? No, it's going to enhance our Aronic Shabbos. So Rav Chanan says you have to say that if Eliyahu Navi were supposed to come on Erev Shabbos, he's going to come a day earlier, not a day later. It doesn't mean that he's going to come later because of that. We had a sugi in Erev whether he could come on Shabbos because he's coming to Michutz L'Tchum and whether Yesh Tchum and Lamal Me'asara. So that's about Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, if he was supposed to come on Erev Shabbos, he's not going to come next week. He's going to come a day earlier, so it's going to enhance Aronic Shabbos. This rule is going to enhance Aronic Shabbos. We'll get the best of both worlds. We'll get Eliyahu Hanavi in his proper time, and we'll get our Suda Shabbos. But anyway, so... What?
We say B'chol Yom Sheyavah.
Yeah, so apparently it's not B'chol Yom, right? So... A day early, right? So, that's how Eliyahu Navi is Mashiach. So Eliyahu Navi comes to herald the coming of Mashiach. But the question is, he's supposed to be a day earlier than Mashiach. So yeah, so there are certain blackout dates apparently on the Bechol Yom Sheyavah.
But is this Mishnah talking about him coming on Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach Shkaliyos Shabbos? Talking about him coming on Shabbos itself. And when you have to
Sunday.
No, we're saying
we're going on the Erev Yontif part, that it's Shabbos and it's Erev Yontif. Oh, that's a good point. Right. We're talking about that Eliyahu Navi might come and he might tell us. Right, you're right. It's talking about the Erev Yontif part. Yeah. So Amr Lo Zozmi Shamat Shakava Lach Rab Lozer Ben Yehuda Ishbar Tusa, that they paskin like Rab Lozer Ben Yehuda Ishbar Tusa Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, that was at the end of the day, that's how they decided to paskin. So my lava filu lechol. So what does it mean they paskin like him? What did he say? He said you should keep only two meals of Truma Tahora and eat those two meals through the first 4 hours of the day. On Erev Pesach, Shechalios B'Shabbos, which is like Rabbi Yehuda, they only eat for the first 4 hours a day. So since we have this Brisa that says that they were Koveya, the Halacha, like the Shita, so don't you see that that's how we pass them? We pass them like Rabbi Yehuda. That's why Rav Nachman Amar Rav passing like Rabbi Yehuda, because of this Brisa. So Amar Rav Pap Mishmei D'Rava Lo, Levair, he says, no, you misunderstand. When we said that we were Koveya, the Halacha, like Rav Lozben Yehuda Ishbar Tusa, it doesn't mean the part where he said that you could eat it through the first 4 hours of the day. No, that part we weren't paying such careful attention to. Maybe you can eat it through the first 5 hours of the day. The part that we were focused on is that you burn everything except for two meals of Truma Tahora. That's the part that we pass on the Rav Lozben Yehuda Ishbar Tusa. Why only two meals? Don't you need to have Shalosh Udas on Shabbos? So Rashi says that it's two meals and not three meals. Below shalosh, to call shalosh sudos to Shabbos, arv shachar sumincha, verv pesach chasul lechem min amincha lemaila. Because the way to fulfill three meals on Shabbos, you dafka have to have it in those three time slots: the nighttime, the morning, and the afternoon of Shabbos. Those are the time slots to fulfill the shalosh sudos of Shabbos. And therefore, when erev pesach falls on Shabbos, you're not going to be able to eat chametz for shalosh sudos anyway, so you can't save a third meal of chametz to have for shalosh shudas. You're not going to be able to eat to be yotzei suda shlishes anyhow. So that's a big question. What do we do about suda shlishes on erev Pesach shechal b'Shabbos? Is there a way to fulfill the mitzvah of suda shlishes? So the Meiri quotes that there are those that split the morning meal. That they'll take the morning meal, they'll bench in the middle of the meal, and then they'll wash again and they'll continue the meal. And that way they'll have two sudos in the morning, and that way they'll be yotzei the three sudos. Those. Meiri's not particularly excited about that. You see, Rashi clearly is not particularly excited about that, because as Rashi points out, there are time slots for the meals. The Rambam sounds that way as well, that Suda Shlishis is dafka supposed to be in the afternoon, that you're not supposed to split the morning meal. That doesn't help. Suda Shlishis cannot be in that time slot. The Meiri points out, but the whole issue, the whole problem only comes up if you hold that you actually need to wash for Suda Shlishis. There are several deos in Shulchan Aruch, what one can eat for Suda Shlishis. So one day is you need Lecha Mishnah. Second day is you need to wash, but it doesn't have to be Lecha Mishnah. Third day, a Pasah B'Kisnin. Fourth day, afilu peiros, afilu basar. You can have other things. You can have shahakal foods. You can have peiros. You can have so if you hold like that shita, that you can have fruits, you can have basar, you can have fish, you can have things like that for Suda Shlishis. So then there's no real problem with Suda Shlishis. It's not going to be chametz, but there's no real problem. So the question is there a raya from our Gemara that you don't split the morning meal? Because our Gemara says you only leave two sudos over. If you split the morning meal, then you're actually having three sudos of chametz. So the Achronim point out it's not a raya from our Gemara, because even if you split the morning meal, you're not going to have extra food. You would only have the amount of food you would normally have with the morning meal anyway. You're just playing around with the benching. You're just making you're just benching in the middle and walking around the block or something. The other possibility, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Taf Mem Dalid that they were mekayim sudos shlishis with matzah ashira. That maybe if you use matzah that's kneaded with meperos, egg matzahs or something like that, or apple juice matzahs, grape juice matzahs, instead of using regular matzah, that would be permissible because it's not chametz, so you're allowed to still eat it at late in the day on Erev Pesach, but it's also not something that you could be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with on the night of the Seder, so that's why you're allowed to eat it on Erev Pesach. So matzah that you're allowed to be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with, you can't eat on Erev Pesach. So matzah ashira is an eitz of the Shulchan Aruch quotes, but the Ramah points out that only works for Svardim. Matzah ashira doesn't work for Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim consider matzah ashira to be chametz nuksha. We consider matzah ashira to be something that the chimutz process begins on. We assume that meperos are memahar in the hachmetz. They cause the chimutz process to speed up, but then the chimutz process is aborted. It never gets fully chametz, but it gets partially chametz, and then it's the process stops along the way. It's important to point out the chametz is not either yes or no. It's a process that takes time. For something to become chametz, a dough has to rise, and then it turns white, and then it starts to develop cracks, and then the cracks start to intersect with each other. So there's a machlokas tanaim at which point that dough went from matzah to seyor, and at what point that goes from seyor to real chametz. But it's a process. So we assume that when you have meperos that are mixed with flour, the process gets underway, but it never finishes. And that's what we call chametz nuksha. So Ashkenazim aren't allowed to eat egg matzahs. That's why in the Ashkachas and Egg Matzahs, usually we'll say Ashkach that it's kosher for cholim, for a chola, the Ashkenazim will allow chola to eat Egg Matzahs, but it's kosher for a chola and for Svardim, but it's not okay for Ashkenazim. So the Ramah says we don't have the option of Egg Matzahs for Suda Shalishas, Nerev Pesach, Schal and Shabbos. We have to do Basar, Dug, and Peros, something like that. Now there is a well-known Shita that you can be Yotzei Shalashudas with Divrei Torah. Now if you look throughout Hilcha Shabbos in the Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah and Hilchos Shabbos, you will not find a single shita in the Shulchan Aruch or its Nosei Kelim anywhere in Hilchos Shabbos that you can be yotzei through the shlishes with Divrei Torah. Where does this come from? It's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach. When dealing with the issue of how does one fulfill Suda Shlishos and Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, Magen Avraham quotes from a Zohar that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai would be Yotzei with Divrei Torah, that he would learn Maisa Merkava as a way of fulfilling a Suda Shlishos. So some of the Balei Kabbalah say it's Dafka Maisa Merkava. It's not just any Divrei Torah. You have to Dafka learn Maisa Merkava, and you have to be Bar Hachi to be able to learn Maisa Merkava. So we're out anyway. It doesn't work for us. But many of the Achronim understand, many of the classical Poskim, the Aruch HaShulchan and others, the understand that no, that's just a fancy way of saying that you're not chayiv in Suda Shlishis. Meaning, what else are you going to do? You're not chayiv in Suda Shlishis, so you learn. So that it doesn't mean that we're actually Yotzei Suda Shlishis. And that's why it only appears in Hilchos Pesach. It doesn't appear anywhere else in Hilchos Shabbos, because for a regular Shabbos, you cannot be Yotzei with Divrei Torah. It's only in Hilchos Pesach. The Torah is not mechayiv us in Suda Shlishis. How do I know? Because I can't eat anything. I have to wash for Suda Shlishis, but you're not allowed to eat matzah, you're not allowed to eat chametz. So what are you supposed to do? So obviously, we're not chayiv in Suda Shlishis, and Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos. That's the way many of the classical poskim understand. But this idea that you could be Yosei Suda Shlishis with Divrei Torah in general, that's just simply not true. One cannot be Yosei Suda Shlishis with Divrei Torah. Certainly, any other Shabbos of the year. Now, the Mishnah over here, the Brice over here spoke about when Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos. So when do we get rid of all of our chametz? So it said before Shabbos, get rid of everything except for those two meals worth. When before Shabbos? When Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos, do we get rid of it right before Shabbos, or do we get rid of it earlier in the day? So the Mordechai quotes a minhag of Rashi, that when Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos, that he would burn his chametz dafka before Chatzos on Erev Shabbos. Why? Because that's the time of the day that we burn chametz every other year, so we don't want to get confused. We don't want our children growing up thinking, hey, I remember we used to burn chametz, you know, before, just before Shkia, when it was just before sunset, and then we went to shul to daven mincha and Mariv, right after we burnt our chametz. And they're going to think that on a regular Erev Pesach, that that's okay, and that's very much not okay. So Minhag Rashi was to keep it consistent, that he burned the chametz on when Erev Pesach was Chol and Shabbos, early in the day, which is ironic, because you're going to burn the chametz and then you're going to continue to eat chametz. But whenever you burn it, you're going to continue to eat chametz, because you need chametz that Friday night and you need chametz that Shabbos morning. So yeah, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Bem Dalet Paskins, Arbaas Veshchalios B'Shabbos, were mevar the chametz in Erev Shabbos before Chatzos, so that you don't come to a Taus in other years. The Mishnah Berurah says, when we say before Chatzos, it doesn't mean like a minute before Chatzos, it means the same time, B'tchila Shashishas, at the beginning of the sixth hour, like we would any other year. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Va'af Rebbe Savar LaHadar Rav Nachman. Savar LaHadar Rav Nachman. Da'amar Ravin Baravada Ma'isa Badam Echad. There was a story of a guy Shehifki Diskiya Malei Chametz Etzel Yochanan Chakuka'a that had given over as a pikadon a basket full of chametz or a box full of chametz to Yochanan Chakuka'a V'nakvua Achbar. And Achbarim bored a hole, mice made a hole in the box, and the chametz was pouring out of the hole. Ubalifnei Rebbe, and he came to Rebbe and he said, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm supposed to watch, guard this chametz for somebody. It's Erev Pesach. I see there's chametz in this box. What am I supposed to do with it? It's going to be an Zman Isur chametz soon. So Shari Shonam Elohim Tein. First hour of the day, Rebbe said, don't do anything. Maybe he's still going to come for his chametz. He's going to want to eat it. You got to still hold on to it. Shnia Amar Lo Amtein. Second hour, wait. Shlishi Amar Lo Amtein. Third hour, Revi Amar Lo Amtein. Fourth hour, he said, wait, don't do anything. Chamishis finally comes the fifth hour. Amar Leitzeu Mochur Bashuk. Now you can go and sell it to somebody. My love, Lenachrim, Rabbi Yehuda. So we're assuming that, what does he mean, sell it? Sell it to a guy, and we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda because it's too late for a Jew to eat it. So it's the fifth hour already. So this is another source to say that we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, just like Rav Nachman Amar Rav paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, over here we see that even Rebbe paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Because by the fifth hour he said your only option is to sell it to a guy. So Amar Rav Yosef, lo, li Yisrael, Krav Meir. No, he didn't mean to sell it to a guy. Maybe he meant they're supposed to sell it to a Jew. Who says that he said you should sell it to a guy? Sell it to a Jew. And he assumes like Rav Meir that a Jew is allowed to eat it in the fifth hour. But Amar Abaye, Ili Yisrael, Nishkele Lanafshe. Well, if he meant to sell it to a Jew, why do you have to sell it? Just eat it yourself. Meaning you're a Jew, you're watching the chametz, it's the fifth hour, you hold like Rav Meir that you're allowed to eat chametz in the fifth hour, why don't you just eat it and pay the guy back for the value of that chametz? Says Mar Mishum Chashada. Now that would look bad. A guy trusted you to watch this box and you're going to eat its contents. So even though you're planning on paying him back for it later, it doesn't look good. It looks bad that you're going to eat something you were entrusted with to guard. So better to sell it, and that way it will be obvious that you're going to use that money to repay the fellow. D'tanya, just like we have a brisa, gabay tzedakah, shein lamaniyim lechalek, if you have a gabay tzedakah that doesn't have aniyim to give the food to, partan lacherim, vein partan liatzman. So he can sell it to other people and use that money for aniyim, but not for himself. Why can't he do it for himself? Because again, he has to be above reproach. You don't have to. You have to avoid any sort of chashad. Gabay tamchei shein lamaniyim lechalek, mokran lachem vein mokran lachem. But gabay tzedakah, we're dealing with money, so we're dealing with copper coins that will go bad soon. So you want to change them for higher quality coins. So that's what partan le'acherim vein partan le'atzman means. Don't change it for your own money. Change it for gabay tamchei deals with food. A tamchei is like a soup kitchen where you're giving out food to aniyim. So if you don't have any aniyim and you have all this food left over, so mokran lachem. So you sell it to other people and you don't sell it to yourself. That a person has to be above any sort of suspicion from Hashem and from other people. So he'll be naki me Hashem if he sells it to himself, because Hashem knows what he really has in mind. But he has to be naki me Yisrael also. There's a tshuva in the Shvus Yaakov of a guy who was given a closed box to watch. He was given a package and he was told, watch this package, and it comes out of Pesach and he can't find the person who gave him the package and he doesn't know what to do. There might be chametz in there. He's not authorized to open the box. So what he does is he sells it with the rest of his chametz and he puts it in the guy's property with all the chametz that he's selling to the guy, and the guy was posheya and the box got destroyed. So the box got lost or ruined. So the fellow who had trusted him with the box sued him, and he said, I want the contents of that box. There was jewelry in there, there was whatever. It wasn't chametz. I don't know why you had to sell the box. I didn't tell you there was any chametz in there. So the shaila was, is it a reasonable assumption to be choshesh that it's chametz in there, and therefore have a right to sell it? So the Shvus Yaakov brings a raya from our Gemara. When does this guy go out and sell the chametz b'shal chamishes? Because the achbarim made a hole in the box, and the chametz was, and you saw that there was chametz in the box. Had he not known that there was chametz in the box, he never would have been authorized to go during the fifth hour to sell. That's why that detail is important. Otherwise, what's that detail doing in the Gemara? That achbarim, who cares that achbarim made a hole in the box? No, it has to be that you know for sure bivadaus that there's chametz in there. If you don't know that bivadaus, then there's no permission to go and to sell it. There's also a question: what if he didn't sell it? So is he chayiv to pay for it now? Is that called a pshia in his shmira? Right, he was told in the fifth hour go and sell it. And what if he doesn't? So the Magen Avraham in Taf Mem Gimel Sifkat Nehei says that the shomer has a chiyuv to sell the chametz, not only midin chametz that I don't want the mafgid to be over on Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzei, but midin shomrin that I have to guard this. And if I allow it to become chametz shavur lav haPesach, then I did a terrible job midine shmira. So says Magen Avraham, since it's midine shmira that you have to guard it, that you have to sell it rather, and not let it become chametz shavur lav haPesach. If I don't sell it, I have to pay for it. I have to reimburse him for the loss of value of that chametz. That's how the Magen Avraham passes. Chalk Yaakov on the side of the Shulchan Aruch disagrees. He says that the Rambam is very clear in his Sheilo Pikadon Perek Zayin that the shomer over here, when he sells it, he's considered kimeshiv aveda. So what's the halacha? I walk down the street and I see an aveda, and I decide not to return the aveda. I know there's a mitzvah and there's a losa say to turn away from an aveda, but I turned away from the aveda. I didn't return it. And then a few minutes later, the aveda gets destroyed. So now do I have to pay back the guy who I didn't return the aveda to? Absolutely not. There is no such halacha that you're chayiv to pay for an aveda. The Rambam calls this a meshiv aveda, that here I have this chametz and it's going to become chametz shavur lav haPesach. So I do this nice act of selling the chametz in order to salvage some value for the other party, but that's just hashavas aveda. Says Chalk Yaakov, therefore one is not chayiv to sell it. However, says Chalk Yaakov, that's only by a shomer chinam. But a shomer sachar has a higher level of chayiv shmira. He would be chayiv to reimburse if he doesn't sell it. The shomer sachar has to be a little more careful in the shmira. However, the rov achronim seem to assume it doesn't make a difference. Shomer chinam, shomer sachar, shulchan harav, the base mayor, they all point out that you're pater milashalim completely. You have no chiyuv to sell the chametz in that situation. I mean, you're supposed to sell it, but you have no chiyuv to pay back for failure to sell the chametz in that situation. Okay, vaitu in the Gemara. Amalei Ravada bar Masla, third wide line. Amalei Ravada bar Masla Rav Yosef beferish amritlan tseyu machon lachem k'reb Yehuda. So Ravada bar Masla said to Rav Yosef, you told us beferish that when he said he should sell this chametz, when Rebbe said to sell this chametz in the fifth hour, that he meant to sell the chametz dafka to goyim because it's already too late for Jews to eat it, since we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that Jews are only allowed to eat chametz through the first 4 hours. Amar Rav Yosef kemanos lahashmaita de Rebbe k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rav Yosef says, that statement of Rebbe must be assuming like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Tanan hamafkid peros itzel chavero. If a person entrusts fruits by his friend, afilu hein avudin, even if they are turning bad and they're going to be destroyed, lo yiga behen. You're not supposed to touch them, according to Tan Kama. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer mochrim bebeizdin mnei hashavas aveda. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you should sell them in Beizdin. Beizdin's role is to make sure that you're getting a fair price. Sell them in Beizdin for the sake of hashavas aveda. So when Rebbe says to sell this guy's chametz, it's the same case. Just like if you have fruits that are rotting that you're watching for somebody. So the Tan Kama says, let them rot. He told you to watch these fruits, so he'll be stuck with rotten fruits. So if you have chametz, the Tanakhama would say, let the chametz become chametz shavur lav haPesach. Let it become aser. He told you to watch this produce, just leave it there. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that you can't let the fruits rot, you should go out and sell it in Beis Din, would assume like Rebbe, who says like with the chametz also, they should go out and sell it during the fifth hour. Amle Abaye v'lavit maralas. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, but don't we say about that that Am Rabba Bachan Am Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shanu Ela Mikdei Chesronan Avol Yosef Mikdei Chesronan Mochren beBeis Din, that that's only if If the Tanakama's shita that you don't sell it is only if they're not being completely destroyed. They're just becoming old the way fruits normally become old. But if they're going to be completely ruined and they're going to lose all value, then even the Tanakama would agree to Rav Shmuel Gamliel that you should sell it. So don't tell me, Rav Yosef, that when Rebbe says to sell the chametz, he must be assuming only like Rav Shmuel Gamliel that you're entitled to sell something that's turning bad. No, he's even going like the Tanakama, who says that you're not allowed to sell fruits that are rotting, because fruits that are rotting aren't completely rotted. If they are completely rotted, so then you're allowed to sell that before they lose all value whatsoever, and that would be like chametz. Certainly over here, by the chametz, it's going to be completely nifsad. It will be lost entirely, so then certainly you're allowed to sell it in that situation. Good, that was the first topic of today's daf, which again was all about how we know to pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda that chametz can only be eaten for the first 4 hours of the day of Pesach. Now we move on to the second topic, which deals with how Rabbi Yehuda told us that they would have a siman up on the Harabayis to tell us when 4 hours are up, when the fifth hour is, that they would have two chalos of a karban toda up on the itztava, on the platform around the Harabayis, and as long as the two chalos were there, you knew you were allowed to eat chametz. When they removed one of them and there was only one left there, then you knew you're not allowed to eat chametz anymore, but it's not yet the time to burn chametz. And then when they would remove the second one, you knew that it was time to burn chametz. That was the siman for all of Klal Yisrael to know. So Tani Tana Kamed Rav Yehuda al gav ha'itztava. The Tana taught it as al gav ha'itztava, that they put it on the platform. Amar lei v'chila tznianu tzarech. Why would they put it on the platform? On the platform means that it's on the lower portion of it, and it's covered over by a roof. That's where you would put something if you want to hide it. We're dafka putting out these loaves of bread to show everybody. So why would you put it in a place where it's hidden? So tani al gag ha'itztava. So he said, no, we have to change the word. It's not al gav ha'itztava, but it's al gag ha'itztava. It's not on the lower part of the platform. It's on the roof of the platform around the Harabayas, and that's where they would put it to demonstrate so all of Klal Yisrael could see it. It is interesting that the Tana got it wrong at first and said Al-Gavi Itztava. The other place where we talk about this Itztava in Shas is in Sukkah Daf Mem Dal Amud Beis. The Gemara, the Mishnah over there talks about what they would do when the first day of Sukkot was Shabbos, how they would have to bring their Lulavim to the Beis HaMikdash before Shabbos so that they don't carry it on Shabbos. So it says that the Chazanim were Mekabel, the people who were the Gabayim in the Beis HaMikdash were Mekabel, people who love him, and they were Sodir Mosam Al Gag HaItztava. They put it around the Gag HaItztava. So the Gemara says, what do you mean Al Gag HaItztava? V'chili Yavshanu Tzarech? Why would they put it on the roof of the Itztava? What, do they need to dry out the Lulavim, putting it in the sun on the Gag HaItztava? It says, no, Tni Al Gav HaItztava. You have to change it to Al Gav HaItztava. So it's odd. They got it wrong both times. Right over here it said Al Gav HaItztava really meant Al Gag. Over there it said Al Gag and it really meant Al Gav HaItztava. It's a remarkable coincidence that they made that mistake in both places. So some of the Rishonim say no, they must have had such a Masorah that it's consistent in both places. So they altered one to conform to the other, and each time they have to be corrected that Masorah is wrong, that it's not supposed to be consistent in both places. That one place is Al Gag, and the other place is Al Gav HaItztava. But it's funny that mistake was made twice. Now, where was this Itztava? So Rashi says that this Itztava was only around the Harabayas, and there was a Gag right over the Itztava. And that was it. There was a roof over the Itztava. The Rambam, in the fifth paragraph of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, says that Har HaBayis was Chamish Me'osama Al Chamish Me'osama, and then he writes, V'kulo Hayu Mekura Stav Lefnimi Stav. And in its entirety, it was roofed over. So the Achronim understand from the Rambam, Kulo Hayamakura, is that it sounds like the Rambam holds that the entire Harabayas had a roof. That it wasn't only this Itztava that surrounded Harabayas that had a roof, but that the entire Chamish Me'osama, Al Chamish Me'osama, 500 Rams by 500 Rams, only 500 by 500 Rams has a din of Harabayas. That's why a lot of people make the assumption that if you know where that 500 Rams by 500 Rams are, so you're allowed to go beyond the the kotel, as long as you know that you're not going in the 500 amos by 500 amos, you just have to know exactly. It's a big machlok is exactly where that that location is. But only 500 amos by 500 amos has the status of Harabayis. But the Rambam says all of it was makura. So the Melech Shlomo raises the question: where did the Rambam get that from? It doesn't say that in the Mishnah anywhere. It doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere. Where does he get this idea that the entire Harabayis was makura? So the Mishnah Lamelech points out that it could be from Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in the third parak of Tainus, by the story of Choni Ma'agel, when they didn't have rain. So what did Choni Ma'agel do? Ma'agel means the circle drawer. Choni went and he drew a circle and he davened for rain. He said, I'm not leaving the circle till it rains. And it rained so much that there was flooding in the streets and everyone went up onto the Harabayis. Why did everyone go into the Harabayis? So Pasha Pshad is they went to the Harabayis because it was an elevation. They wanted to get on elevated ground because of all the flooding, of all the rain. But the Yerushalmi says they were in Harabayis because they were getting wet and there was a roof on Harabayis. So it was protecting them from the rain to go on Harabayis. Maybe that's the source of the Rambam, that there was a roof on Harabayis. Ramosh has a tshuva about this in Aruch Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Zayin, does not think that that's a good raya at all. But okay, so anyway, so they would put it on the Gag HaItztva. They would put these lobes. Amar Rachva, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Harabayis Stav Kofel Haya. The Harabayis was a double platform around it. Tanya Nami Achi, Harabayis Stav Kofel Haya. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Istavanis Haysanikre, Stav Lefnimi Stav. It had this double platform with a roof and a lower portion to it. Psulos v'chulei, so they would put these pasul alach metoda. Am I psulos? What made these loaves pasul that they would use? So Amar Rabbi Chanina mitoch shayim merubos nefsalos belina. They would get these pasul loaves because there were so many lach metoda that were brought on the day before Erev Pesach that on Erev Pesach they had a lot of pasul loaves left over. When you bring carbon toda, you have to bring 40 loaves. 30 chametz, 10 matzah. So you'd have to bring 30 loaves of bread, 40 loaves of bread rather, and you would have to eat them all within the day and the following night. So if you bring carbon toda on Wednesday, let's say at 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday morning, you have the rest of Wednesday day and Wednesday night to eat it. By Thursday morning, it's already too late. So the day before Erev Pesach, they had tons of carbonos toda brought. There was no way everyone could eat the 40 loaves in time. So in Erev Pesach, they had a lot of extra loaves that have become possible lina. The Tanya, why did they have so many carbonos toda brought that day? Because the Tanya in Bavin toda b'chag matos mibnei chametz shabbat. You're not allowed to bring carbon toda on Pesach because it has chametz. So since it has chametz, you can't bring it on Pesach. So anyone who's going to be chayv carbon toda is not going to be able to bring it for the next week. So they want to bring it now. So it says more pshita. Obviously, you're not allowed to bring it on Pesach. So Amrav Adi Barava hachav yudalid askin and b'ksaver in Bavin kachem b'beisam sul. No, not only can you not bring a carbon toda on Pesach, can't even bring it on erev Pesach. Because what's going to happen if you bring it on erev Pesach, normally the Zman Achilah is the rest of that day and the following night. But you can't eat Chametz that night, or you're not allowed to minimize the Zman Achilah. You can't make the Zman Achilah end any earlier. So everyone would end up bringing it on the day before Erev Pesach. Normally the way you get rid of your 40 Lach Metoda in time was by sharing with all your friends. But the problem is all your friends are also bringing their own Lach Metoda. They all have this extra food that they need to get rid of. So you know, sharing with all your friends is not going to help. So they had all these extra loaves that were pasul belina. This is the source for the idea that we don't say the mizmor l'soda on Erev Pesach, because there's no carbon toda, so there's no mizmor l'toda. It happens to be that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention that idea, that we don't say mizmor l'soda on Erev Pesach, and some of the Achronim point out that perhaps we should say mizmor l'soda on Erev Pesach, because it's not really about the carbon toda, it's our way of expressing hoda'ah. So we're not going to bring carbon toda anyway. We might as well at least express hoda'ah on Erev Pesach, but whatever it is, our minhag is that we don't say mizmor l'soda on Erev Pesach because the carbon toda is not part of Erev Pesach. So Shaila, what about Erev Yom HaKippurim? Because you also mimait this zman achilah on Erev Yom HaKippurim, since you can't eat it that night, obviously, it's Yom Kippur. So that's it's a further discussion in the Achronim. Anyway, that was one possibility of where these loaves came from. Mishum Rabbi Yanei Amru Ksheros Hayu. No, these loaves are actually kosher. Ve'lamai Karilu Psulos. That's funny. Why does the Mishnah call them Psulos then? Shalonishchat Alein HaZevach. Because there was no, the carbon wasn't shechted. The animal wasn't shechted. V'nishchot, so just shecht it. Shavar HaZevach, we lost it. V'naisi Zevach Acha V'nishchot. So bring a different animal to shecht. Damar Zu Todav Zu Lachman Hayu. you dafka associated this animal with these loaves, so another animal is not going to help. Ukadaraba, damaraba, avad alechem, maybe lechem acher. If you lose the bread, you can bring other bread. Avda toda, ein maybe toda acheres. But you lose the animal, you cannot bring another animal. My taima, lechem glal toda, vein toda glal lechem. The bread goes along with the animal doesn't go along with the bread. So So why don't you redeem the bread and make the bread chulin? So ella, a third possibility, liolim shenishchat alena zevach v'nishbach hadam. Now the case is the zevach was shechted and the dam was spilled out, so we never got to do zrikas hadam. Ukeman kerebi dam rebi shnei devar ma'matir and malin zebelozeh. The two things that are matir can be brought one without the other. D'tanya kivsei atzeres ein mekachim es alechem ela b'shchita. The kivsei atzeres, when they are shechted, that's what's makdish the bread. Ketzad shacht on the shman v'zarek dam on the shman kidesh alechem. If you did the shchita and the zrikal the shma, so the bread becomes holy. Shacht on shalol l'shman v'zarek dam shalol l'shman lo kidesh alechem. If you did nothing l'shma, then the bread does not become holy. Shacht on l'shman v'zarek dam shalol l'shman lechem kadosh ve'en kadosh divrei rabbi. If you did the shchita l'shma but the zrika you didn't do l'shma, so the lechem is kadosh in the sense that it's possible b'yotze and you can't be poda it, but it's not mutar ba'achila. It's eino kadosh in the sense that it's not mutar ba'achila. That's Rabbi Shita. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Liyol Amenu Kadosh Alechem, Ach Yishchol Lishman V'Yisrog Dam Lishman. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon holds that you need to do the Zrikas Adam Lishman for the Lechem to be holy. So I feel the Tamer Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Hachum Ayas Kinan Kiyosh and Skabel Adam Bekos V'Nishbach. Maybe we're even going like Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, and the case over here was that you did a Kabbalah Adam in a Kos and then it spilled out. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Sabalei Kavu Adam or Kalom Elizro Kazarek Dami. So the fact that you caught it in the Kos makes it Ki'ilu, you already did the Zrikas Hadam, so the Lechem is already fully holy because you did the Shechita L'Shma. You caught it in a Kos, and when once you catch it in a Kos, it's Ki'ilu, you did the Zrika, so the Lechem is already holy, and that's the bread that we're dealing with over here. Tanim Yishom Reb Lezer Amuk Sheiros Hayu. So Reb Lezer said that these were Kashu loaves. Kol Zman Shemunachos Kol Ha'am Ochlin. Whenever they were there on the Yitztva, everyone could eat. Nit La'achos Man told them Lo'ochlin Lo Sarfin. If one of the loaves was removed, so then they couldn't eat and they couldn't burn the chametz. Nitlu shtei and ischilu kulan sarfin. When both loaves were removed, then everyone would burn the chametz. Tanya b'shol lomer that it was a different simin. Shtei paros hayucharshos b'har mishcha. They would have two cows plowing on harazesim. Kolz man shtei and charshos kol ha'am ochlin. So long as both cows were plowing, everyone knew they could still eat chametz. Nitalas achas man told them lochem v'lo sarfin. One of the cows was removed, then they knew they couldn't eat chametz, but they couldn't burn chametz. Nitlu shtei and ischilu kol ha'am sarfin. And when both cows were removed, then everyone knew to burn the chametz. The major kasha that the Rishonim deal with over here is if we're dealing with something that nishpach dama, that the blood was spilled out of the kos, every year they would have a karban toda that it would happen to be that they accidentally spilled the blood out of the kos, so they would have these extra lachmei toda. How did that happen every single year? Okay, that's a kasha. All right, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with the Mishnah with Chanin Skanakonim tomorrow.